Nicholas, the main problem I have with my mailing and my email is getting through these spam filters. When I do a mailing, I always have the feeling that the emails are just not getting through. And it's not just a feeling. I absolutely know they're not getting through. How big of a problem are these spam filters today for others?
Spam filters are getting exponentially increasingly stricter. If you send out a newsletter, I'm going to tell you what you must know. Email is at a crisis, and spam filters are blocking first and asking questions later. If your email looks like spam, or you get on a real-time blacklist, 80% of your email will never make it to your recipient's inbox, and it'll go into their junk folder only if you're lucky. The thing about the RBLs is they don't tell you that they blocked you. They want to say we've blocked umpteen thousand domains and IPs, to get more people to use their blocking list.
What is an RBL?
RBL is a real-time blacklist. If you spam and someone reports you, they could basically have you blocked instantly. Once you get on a list, you're guilty until you're proven innocent. I'm going to tell you how to keep yourself off the blacklist, how to check if you're listed, how to get removed if you ever get listed, and how to ensure your email gets to the inbox, not the junk folder, but the actual inbox of major email domains such as AOL, Hotmail, Yahoo, Gmail, and MSN. That said, I bring you the 10 things you must know about getting your email past spam filters.
How powerful is this information? Do you have any restrictions for using the content in this module?
This information is intended for use for your personally collected opt-in newsletter list. To provide information or to promote a product or service related to what your site is about and contain content that is what the recipients expect to be getting from opting into your mailing. It may not be used to send UCE, unsolicited commercial email, or in a method that violates government regulations regarding the sending of mass commercial emails found on spamlaws.com/us.shtml.
Gotcha. Let's get started. Is there anything I need to do right off the bat?
What you need to do before you start your first mailing is, number one, check your IP at dnsstuff.com to make sure it's not blacklisted. Even if you haven't sent out any mailings, your IP could have been blacklisted from the person who had it before you. If you find your IP on a blacklist, request a new IP from your hosting provider. Also, if your outgoing mail server is not the same as the IP of your web server, or you use a third party to send to your list, you need to ask for all IPs of servers your email could be going out on. Number two, make sure the IP has a valid reverse DNS entry. You check this at dnsstuff.com. And number three, make sure your domain has a valid SPF record. If you visit the Microsoft SPF wizard after you type in your domain, it will tell you if you have an SPF record. If you don't, go through the wizard, then send the result to your web host to add the SPF entry to your DNS zone. In the transcripts, there's a link that will take you right to the Microsoft SPF record wizard. IP address is a set of numbers that's assigned to your website.
Every user of the Internet has a different and unique IP address?
Yep, everyone has a unique IP address. And the Internet, when it first started, was just IP addresses. And then when domain came out, they used name service to link those domains to the IP address.
Tell me briefly, what is this DNSstuff.com website?
A website that has lookup tools and troubleshooting tools.
Okay. What is SPF?
SPF is Sender Policy Framework. A big thing the spammers are doing now is they're spoofing the from address of the emails. So they'll be sending emails out looking like it's coming from your domain, even though it's coming from another server. And this SPF record says any servers that should be associated with your domain that are sending mail.
Okay, and the DNS zone, what is that?
That is domain name server zone. That's what resolves the domain name to an IP address.
So it matches your website to the IP address. So, for example, I host my websites with you. I have a server, and I have, say, 8 different websites on the server that you're hosting for me. Now, does each one of my websites have different IP addresses?
Yours do. Some web servers will have multiple websites on the same IP address, though.
Okay, so for someone who needs to get their IP address, they would contact their hosting company.
Right, you could do that, or if you go to the DOS prompt and just type in P-I-N-G, put a space, and then put your domain. This is called ping your domain. That'll also tell you what your IP address is. And just to remember, you want to use the IP for your website and not your computer.
What about, for example, if you're using a third-party email service like AWeber.com? Just get in touch with them?
AWeber.com probably has a cluster of email servers that they send mail out on just because they're sending so many and also for redundancy. So you want to contact them and ask what the IP addresses are of all their mail servers.
I hear a lot about double opt-in and single opt-in. What exactly are each of those, and which one should I begin using?
Double opt-in means after a person signs up on your site to receive your newsletter, you send them an auto response saying, "Did you really sign up to receive my email? If so, click here." Then once they click that link, that's the second confirmation that they want to receive your email. Single opt-in is where once they sign up on your site, they're on your list. In both cases, you need to have clear opt-out instructions so the person can unsubscribe from your list easily and at any time. For my mailing list, I go with single opt-in. With double opt-in, you're going to lose at least 40% of the people just because they won't click the link to confirm their subscription. This is because the email could have got filtered out and people won't read every email you send them. In addition to their email, I not only collect their first name, which increases results dramatically when used in the subject or body of the email, but also their IP address and a date timestamp of when they signed up. This information is stored in a database and then can be used to rebut a spam complaint if you ever get one. Another thing to do is, when you go with single opt-in, send the first message immediately and put you're receiving this email because you just signed up at, put your domain. If you wish to unsubscribe or have received this email in error, click here.
I see a lot of advertisements out there of people selling mailing lists. Some of them claim to be double opt-in. Is it ever worth buying a list like this, and do you think these are really safe emails to buy and to market with?
No, you never want to buy a list. If you buy a list of emails, you're going to get spam complaints. Even if they say double opt-in targeted emails, if the person getting your email has never done business with you and doesn't recognize your company, they're going to report your email as spam.
Let's get into the meat of how do I get past these spam filters.
First, the best way to not get blocked is to be on the user's whitelist. If they add you to their Safe Sender list in Outlook or to their People I Know list in AOL, your email will go through all the time. Probably no one will do this unless you tell them to, so after they sign up, you want to have whitelist instructions displayed on your website. With this course, I'm including a template that has easy instructions for someone to whitelist you on any email client. However, even if you tell them, a lot of them aren't going to whitelist you. It's extra work, and they think as long as it's not spam, they won't need to whitelist you. So one thing you can do, and this is what I do, is after signing up for my mailing, I have an extra bonus, and to get that bonus, you have to check a box saying, I have followed the whitelist instructions. Every email client, or whether you use Hotmail or Yahoo or AOL, it has a whitelist, and those are people you know or domains you specifically put on there so that that email will go through to you all the time. It won't be filtered for certain keywords, and it won't be blocked or anything. And whatever email client you use, they have settings, and in the settings area, you can enter in these email addresses. So even though whitelist sounds complicated, it's actually pretty easy to do, and it's something you want to do so you don't miss out on important emails.
Okay, that will help me some, but a lot of people still aren't going to whitelist you, or they get a new computer and their whitelist is gone. How can I make sure my emails get through the tough spam filters?
I'll tell you, and we'll talk about Spam Assassin here. It's one of the most widely used filters. A lot of ISPs use different filtering methods, but if Spam Assassin is blocking you, the other filters are likely to be too. You want to test your email with Spam Assassin to get your email through with a score as low as possible, and you also want to try sending to an AOL email, a Yahoo email, a Hotmail email, see if your message is going into the main inbox. And the Spam Assassin, that email filtering software, so me as a web host, I have that on every server, and Michael, I have that on your server, so when you send an email to yourself, or when someone sends you an email, you could look at the headers in there, and one of them is going to be that spam status header.
Okay, so because I'm sending myself an email and you're my host, my emails are being analyzed for spam because you subscribe to the spam assassin filter?
Right.
Okay, so when I get that email, I right-click on the subject line of the email, and then I'm going to see all this data.
Yep.
All right, and now we're going to go through what all this data means.
So in my example, the first one is Bayes_00. This one is huge. It says there's no way your message is spam for the Bayesian theory, and you get about -2.3 points for it. Remember, the lower the points, the better, so that one really helped you out. The Bayesian theory is, one nice thing about spam assassin is they'll actually learn which emails are spam and which ones aren't. So based on the emails you've been receiving, it applies the Bayesian theory and says a new message coming in based on the properties of that new message compared to the properties of the messages you've already received. It determines what chance it is of being spam or not.
So it gets smarter as you receive more email.
Right.
Is there any technology better than Bayesian?
That one's pretty good. Combined with the other things, it makes it one of the best filtering systems.
So if I look at that Bayes, I send an email to myself, and I look at that Bayes score, and I see that it's a -2.3. I'm in pretty good shape.
Right. The second one is HTML_00_10. This means between 0 and 10% of your email is HTML. If you're going to use HTML, it's best to use between 30 and 80% HTML. So look at the chart and then go back to your email and see what you can change in there to get a little more HTML in there. There are two ways to send email, either in plain text or in HTML. HTML, you could send the email to make it look like a web page or make it a little bit more fancy or include some tracking elements or other things in there. And the text one is just your standard plain text. And the third one is HTML_image_only_12. This means I have an image in the email and the email only contains 8 to 1200 bytes of words. What it's doing here is trying to block people who put their text in an image so the spam filter won't read it. In this case, if you're getting points for that, you want to increase your text a little. If you could push it into the 12 to 1600 range, you'll lower your spam score by a good point.
All right, I don't understand. So give me an example. Let's say there's a spammer out there, and he's trying to spam. He's going to send an email by having an image in there. Is it an actual picture, an HTML email, where if I get the email and I open it up, there's a picture?
Right, they are getting blocked for, like, using Viagra and Cialis and stuff, so anytime it sees those keywords, they're going to get blocked. So what they do is they create an image that has the plain text in there.
Okay, so this is an image, a picture, so the guy's marketing Viagra. They'll write Viagra and change that as an image, so hopefully the spam filters can't pick up on the word Viagra because they can't read it. It's an image, correct?
Right, they're trying to get around the spam filters by doing that.
All right, so this 800 to 1200 bytes of words, changing it to that, what does that mean if it's an image? How are their words there?
Usually it's an image, and then they put text underneath that, like you'll get an email and it has the image, and then like part of a poem or something underneath.
Yeah, why do they do that?
They do that because they know that it checks for the bytes of words. They used to be able to get through by putting the image only, then they started blocking that. Now they have to send that image and bytes of words to try to get through.
I see. So anyone receiving spam, and everyone has received spam, has always wondered, just like I've wondered, you get these images and then you see these words that make no sense at all.
Right.
They're putting that text in there to make it through the spam filters.
Yeah, that's why they do that.
All right, now, so as a marketer, what's going to increase my chances of getting through? If I don't send emails with just an image, have some text in there?
You can have an image, but you want to have a lot of text also. You don't want to do, like, a short email with an image in there because that'll get blocked.
That's helpful. Okay, let's do the next.
Next one is HTML_message. This says your email is in HTML rather than plain text. It only scores a point of 1/1000th of a point, so just ignore that. It's not going to make a difference. A lot of people say don't use HTML for your newsletters. That's a dead giveaway. It's spam. But as you can see here, just the fact that your email is HTML makes no realistic difference to the spam filter.
All right, how about this? people's settings on their Outlook. I know when I get HTML emails, I have to click on something to open that, where with text emails, I don't. I just open it and they're there. As a marketer, do you think it's wise sending HTML compared to text? Not just, say, for the spam reasons, but for getting opened. Any feedback on that?
Sometimes people's email clients won't be able to read the HTML. There's actually a way to send it in both HTML and text, and depending on the user's email client, based on what their client is capable of, determines which of your messages will appear. I'll actually talk about this shortly. Another technique is if you send a plain text message, you could put a link in there directing them to an HTML page.
Okay, what's next?
Next one is HTML_FruitsGate5_10. This means I have between 5 and 10% of HTML bold text. It's adding about a point and a half for that, so I want to get rid of some of the bold that's in my email.
So if I'm sending HTML emails and there's a lot of bold stuff, that's kind of like shouting in the email world, and Spam Assassin's going to count that against you.
Right, they're going to add points for that.
Okay, what's next?
Next one is MIME_Heather_C_Only. This is a technical thing and will be related to the script or software used to send the email. You need to make sure you have the right headers and make sure there's no typos in the headers. Otherwise, you're likely to get blocked. There are actually quite a few mailing scripts out there that have this error. So even if you got your list from a reputable third party, your list sending software, you want to be sure to check the headers that it includes.
All right, so are you saying if I'm buying a mailing list and they send me that mailing list, like in an Excel format, and I load it up to an email client to send out, where am I going to identify what the header is before I send the email out? That's not in the actual list.
It's in the software that sends the email. So if you bought like a bulk mailing script or had a third party that does your emailings, you want to have them send you a test first or send yourself a test first so you could double check that the headers are correct.
What are some things that would be misspelled in the header that could count against you?
Like you'd spell a word wrong, or it could be missing a header, especially if it's an HTML.
For instance, let's say when I'm sending email through my AWeber and I send it to myself, I can check that header. Would I be able to change that header with AWeber?
You wouldn't be able to change it. AWeber probably has them right. They're a pretty big company. If you do notice it wrong, then you want to contact the company or contact the people you got the software from, and they'd have to have one of their programmers fix it.
Okay, but what you're saying is there are other people who send out email by buying email scripts. They host them on their servers, or they'll use lesser quality third-party email broadcasting people that make sloppy mistakes that could keep your emails from getting through.
Right.
So always test and send an email to yourself. Right-click on the subject line and look at the header and make sure all the spelling is correct.
Yep.
Great. Let's go on.
Okay, the next one is MIME, HTML only. Again, this is another technical thing. This is actually what we talked about a little bit earlier. If you're sending a message in HTML, the spam filter looks to see if you're also sending a text version of the message along with it. Just like you use the alt tag for your images on your web page, for people who are blind or have images disabled in their browser, you want to send the text-only version of your email. The way to do this is to use the header content-type:\multipart/alternative. Then you have to set a token in the header and use that token at the start of your text message, at the start of the HTML message, and at the end of the message.
What is a token?
A token is just like a special string. You can make it up. It could be anything. You want to make it something scrambled, though, because you don't want it to appear anywhere in the body in any circumstances. Otherwise, it's going to divide your message wrong. It won't know where the header is and stuff. Make it about 20 characters and just something totally scrambled, letters and numbers. For those of you who might be confused with this, in the transcript, there's going to be an example of exactly how you do this. And sometimes I'm still not exactly sure what word got me points, so I go to the actual source code of the Spam Assassin Perl script, and the link to find that is in the transcript. If you're a newbie, you're going to be freaked out by the phrase Perl source code. But it's not that hard. You're not writing the code. You're just looking at what someone else already wrote. So, for instance, on one of my emails, I got points for my unsubscribe URL. The flag in the spam assassin headers was URI_unsubscribe, and it got me about 2.6 points. I made a slight change to it and was still getting the points, so I had to look that one up, and in the source code it says gone/open/out and then .php, and my unsubscribe link was called out.php, and apparently a lot of spammers use that. So that line of the Perl script is saying it's going to give you points if you have gone.php, open.php, or out.php anywhere in your email.
All right, so what is this website? When I go to that search.cpan.org, how am I going to be able to see the Perl code in my actual email?
They have it all in HTML format, and you can just click where you want to go, and it'll show you the Perl code for it.
For the specific email I'm trying to research?
Not for your specific email, but for the flag that it got you points for.
Oh, I see. So in my data, I'm looking for the flag, the warning from the spam assassin, correct?
Right.
And then it's going to tell me where the problem was.
Yeah, it'll tell you in detail.
So how do I go fix that?
You're actually not changing the Perl call. You change your message. Like for mine, where it had the out.php that I didn't like, I just changed that to like opt-out.php or something different.
All right, but that was when I right-click on the subject line? That was in your header?
No, that's in the body of the message where you change it.
Oh, that was in the body of the message.
Right.
So was that where your unsubscribe link was?
Right, I had the unsubscribe link there.
And that was in HTML?
Yep.
Okay, so, for example, in this email that you got a bad score for on this particular thing, you had an unsubscribe option. When someone would receive your email, they could unsubscribe. And it was in the code within your unsubscribe option that you had some wording that counted against you.
Yeah, the link to unsubscribe was like mydomain/out.php. And the phrase it looks for is out.php, so I had to change the name of my script.
So you fixed that?
Yep.
That was in your script that sends out your email?
I have to rename the script, right.
I got it. Okay, that makes sense. Good.
It's important to test, change something, and then test again. On one email, I was able to go from a positive 2.0, which is already a pretty great score, to a negative 3.2. I lowered the spam score by 5.2 points. And this was by just changing the content of the message. I often send an email to myself 25 to 30 times before I get the score down as low as possible without affecting what I want to say in the email. And if this is too confusing for you, you can sign up for an account with aweber.com. What AWeber is, it's an autoresponder service where you can send a series of messages so many days apart. And what they let you do is there's a button for a check spam score. So before you send your message out, you can check the spam score of it there. And it'll point out exactly what you need to fix in the message or email.
Okay, great. Looking at my list, I see a lot of people have emails with endings like at AOL.com, at Hotmail.com, at Yahoo.com, at MSN.com, at Gmail.com. I don't suppose there's like a guaranteed way to get through those domains.
Actually, there is. With email, the 80-20 rule is in effect. Over 80% of your email will go to less than 20 domains, so you need your email to go through to at least those domains. This list will almost always include AOL.com, Hotmail, MSN, Yahoo, and Gmail. What you can do is review their whitelist policies, make sure your email is following those policies, and then fill out the form to be put on their whitelist. And in the transcripts, I'm going to have links for AOL, Yahoo, and those are not only for those domains, but they are also the whitelists used by all of their subsidiaries. So once you're whitelisted on Yahoo, you're also listed on SBC Global, Bell South, Pac Bell, all the other companies they own.
So if I want to make sure that I'm whitelisted, I could go to all these links here in the transcripts and subscribe for hardtofindseminars.com and hardtofindads.com and michaelsinoff.com to be all whitelisted.
Right, you want to read through it first. Some of them say, like, you have to have your address in there, so you want to make sure your email has that and read their other rules.
So do you think if someone's sending out emails without their mailing address, which you do have to have to conform with the CAN spam laws, those are some emails that are subject to going to spam filters?
Right, if you're sending it from, like, a dumb email address or one that can't receive replies, that one's likely to get you blocked by these major ISPs and email domains.
You didn't mention Hotmail or MSN there. How do I get on the whitelist for these guys?
For them, you need to use a third-party accreditation service. These places are recognized by major ISPs and corporate mail servers as trusted sources for email, so your legitimate message is basically guaranteed to go through once you get on one of those accreditation services. These places charge a fee, and it's based upon the amount of email you send, but it's worth it if you have a large enough list, because the sales you're going to get from the people who otherwise wouldn't have gotten your email will more than compensate for the cost of the accreditation service. For Hotmail, and that's them and then all their other companies like Roadrunner, MSN, the link is senderscorecertified.com, and there's another third-party accreditation service called payboz.com. This one's good because it subtracts about 3 points from your spam assassin score, and both those links are in the transcript.
Nick, if I follow all of these policies and am careful with my mailings and I'm good, I don't have to worry about getting blacklisted, is that right?
Not necessarily. You still want to continually check DNSstuff.com to make sure your IP hasn't gotten blocked. Even if it was a clean IP when you started, it's possible someone mistakenly thought your message was spam. Or if it's a shared mail server, someone else that sends email from the same IP as you couldn't have gotten it blocked by spam.
Let's say I haven't sent out an email to my list after not emailing them in a long time and my IP got blocked. What do I do?
If your IP is blocked or if your host accuses you of spamming, you want to see if it was your mailing that caused the block. If it was your mailing, within a few days of the complaint, your host would have contacted you because complaints usually go directly to them. And once you get that, you want to search through your database for that email of the complainer. Save the details for it, because remember before, if you do the opt-in the way I do, I save their IP and time date stamp to when they sign up. So save that to give to your web host, and then you want to remove that guy immediately. If he's complaining, just get him off your list. Contact your host with the details, the person's first name if you have it, the email, the IP where they signed up from, and the time date stamp, and tell them you've removed the complaining party. It's important to note that this isn't like an unlimited get-out-of-jail-free pass. If you're getting too many people complaining, you're probably doing something wrong. You got to change the way you do your mailing. Depending on what policy your host has and what kind of plan you're on with them, they may only tolerate a couple complaints. That's why it's important to actively maintain a clean list and have clear removal instructions in every email. In the event you are getting too many complaints, you can switch your single opt-in list to double opt-in, or if it's already double opt-in, make it triple opt-in by sending out an email saying, "We're cleaning our list to confirm you still want to receive our emails. Click this link," and when they click that link, they're added to your new list, and then just stop using the old list. If you are blocked and your host hadn't contacted you and you saw your IP was blocked on DNS stuff, you want to click the link or links to the places that have blocked you. Some of them are nonsense lists run by, like, people overseas with no valid contact information. You can ignore those, and you know which ones are the nonsense ones because they say should not be used on the DNS stuff site. Also, some have a fee to get removed from the list. I ignore those as well. They're used by a shrinkingly small portion of ISPs, and they're more prone to block people just to try to get money from them. So on the links you go to, you're looking for the sending domain of the offending email. See if it was your domain that caused the listing. If it wasn't, contact your hosting provider. Say someone else got you blocked. If it was your domain, it was from your email that got you blacklisted, look on there to find out what person reported you. And then for these links, they're going to be removal instructions too, so you can get off these blacklists. You either have to click a link saying you've taken care of the problem or send them an email explaining what happened. But remember, there's only so many times you could do this. So you want to be careful with your future mailing. You can't, like, remove yourself once a day or once a week. They'll just block you permanently. If you're not able to find the details on the person who got you listed, the guy that complained, you can contact the people who blocked you and ask for the information, or you can also search on the Google Abuse Group. And to do that, you go to groups.google.com and add group colon star abuse star to the end of your search. And what you're searching for is either your domain or your IP address.
All right, well, let me ask this. You're the owner of a hosting company. How do you guys handle it? I want you to create a vision for the listeners of how easy it is for someone receiving email to report an email as being spam. So, for example, I know when I used to have AOL, and you receive your email, and you got tons of emails coming in, there's a button down below that says report as spam, but right next to it, there's a button that just says okay. I mean, it's so easy for someone to click on that button, report as spam, and that could cause you problems, right?
Right. And a lot of those places like the AOL or the MSN or Yahoo reporting as spam, they're actually tied into some of these blacklists on DNS stuff. So not only will the AOL block you, but you'll be blocked by a bunch of other places as well.
How often are you dealing with these problems as the owner of a hosting company?
We deal with it about once a month. Either a customer will buy a list, not knowing you're not supposed to do that and send that, or they'll have like an insecure script or an insecure form, and someone gets in and starts sending out mail. So about once a month, we have to remove a customer's IP.
This information is golden. I mean, I have never heard as much detail on this anywhere. Have you seen any of the other internet marketers teaching the details about email and getting your email through anywhere?
No, I haven't seen this much detail before, especially with the whitelist stuff, how to get on the whitelist for the major ISPs, Yahoo, Gmail, MSN, and the details about what to look for in the spam filters, how to really get that score down as low as possible.
I often get emails with a from address, like donotreply@domain.com or nobody@domain.com. I assume that's so you don't get a bunch of bounces from the mailing. Is it good to use a dummy email like that?
No, you want to send your email from a valid email address. A lot of people send their mailing from something like Do Not Reply or Nobody, and those addresses don't accept mail. Now, if you have a really big list, you probably don't want to put your personal email there. Otherwise, you're going to get overwhelmed with responses and bounce backs. But you don't want to use a fake one either. This is bad for three reasons. Number one, a lot of mail filters send a test to that email saying, hello, are you a valid email? If it responds yes, it lets the email go through. If it says no or doesn't respond, it just drops your email. The recipient will never get it. Number two, a lot of people will reply with remove in the subject or body instead of going to your removal link. In that case, you want to look through your emails and remove the ones that want to be removed. Number three, you want to remove the bounced emails, the ones that are no longer valid. The ISPs you're sending to don't want their servers to process a lot of bad emails, and if they see a lot of them going through, they're going to flag you as a spammer. One good tip is to set up a new email account that you're going to use just to receive replies from your mailings.
Do you have any secret tricks that are currently working to help get through these filters?
Yep. If you're sending an email in HTML format, one of the things the spam filters look for are percent of HTML. This is bad for a lot of my newsletters because I send them as HTML for tracking reasons, but I make them appear as text for conversion reasons. So there are not really many HTML codes in it. However, a trick I learned to increase the HTML percent is to use comments and add in attributes for the HTML tags that I do have in there. For example, an image, the IMG tag, I would add the attributes for alt, aligned, border, height, width, eight space, long, disk, like long description, and V space.
Okay, I got you. So you add those to make the spam filters believe that there's some format to your actual email, but there's nothing really in there.
Right, there's actually more HTML in there.
Great, Nick. Nick, this has really been incredible. I mean, from some of this stuff I've learned here, I know I'm going to have a lot better chance of getting my emails through. It's a little confusing at first, but I know as I take each one of these topics step by step and really practice understanding it, this is going to be invaluable information. It really is. Well done.
Thanks. To recap, now you know what to do to have in place before doing a mailing. how to get through spam filters, how to send to the big ISPs and email domains, how to keep your list clean, and what to do if you're ever blacklisted.
You know, a lot of people know or have a sense that their email isn't going through, and I don't think there's anyone I know who could do this better than you. Are you offering a service under a consultative basis at marketingmastermind.com?
Yep, one of the things we do is we'll get you on the whitelist, get you listed with the MSN third-party service, type up the emails for you, making sure that you're not going to get caught in a lot of spam filters.
All right, can you give out your number for the best number to contact you if someone's interested in having you help them out with this?
If you need help with some of that, you can give us a call at 1-888-705